Good to see everybody back tonight. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when you get to studying a little bit, you come upon a word and it just drives you nuts until you figure out just exactly what it is. Bruce calls it digging deeper into the hole. Well, I did that with the word wisdom. And I got to tell you, the deeper I dug, the deeper the well was. It's a tough word. It's hard to put a definition on wisdom, even though we tend to have a relatively simple definition, the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. That's the basic Webster's definition of the word wisdom. We say that we take our knowledge and our understanding, and with wisdom, we can put that to work. So there's different ways to look at this, but that's the basic definition of wisdom. And as I looked at it, you know, I was kind of took wisdom and thought, well, you know, it's in the religious realm where we look at the word wisdom. But the more I looked at this and the more I want to look at it tonight, and I want you guys to look at it, this wisdom that God talks about in the Bible can be applied to family. It can be applied to your profession or your work. And more importantly, of course, to us as Christians. To have a knowledge and to have an understanding and be able to put that to work applies in many different places, not just in the church. So as we look at this tonight, take a look at it to where you might be able to not only apply it in your Christian lives, but also be able to apply it in your everyday lives. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, so hang with me as we go through this. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. Most of you that have studied Proverbs at all probably figured out that I'm probably going to use some of Proverbs in this lesson tonight because it seems to have the best definition and picture that we can put together as far as the word wisdom is concerned. So I want to start in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and then come back to some verses in the New Testament, and then we'll finish up with chapter 8 in Proverbs. So chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it reads this way: "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Now, we could stop right there because there's quite a picture painted right there. And we're going to come back to part of that in chapter 8. But we see here in this just short passage in Proverbs, wisdom is better than silver. It's better than gold. It's better than rubies. And then it says it's better than anything you may want. That's how precious wisdom is. I know sometimes we joke about wisdom. Well, I don't have any wisdom. I don't have this. I don't have that. Well, you may want to strive to have wisdom because it's better than anything you can lay your hands on. It has a way of pleasantness. It helps us reason with things. It helps us to understand things. It has peace. It's the tree of life. And here it says, happy are those who retain her. Happiness comes from being pleasant, from being peaceful, to understand that this wisdom that we're talking about tonight is of greater value than anything we can put our hands on. We see that same type of description with heaven. Streets paved with gold. It gives us an idea of how precious things are. And this wisdom that we're talking about is very precious. Not only to us, but also to God. I want to go to start here in James. James 1, verse 5 reads this way: "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So how do we get this wisdom? It says here, talk to God. He'll provide it. And James 3, verses 13 through 17, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Who is wise among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Bruce talked this morning about being an example to others. Let this show through our good conduct. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So we're seeing there's another kind of wisdom, isn't there? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we see in this passage there's two different types of wisdom. There's a worldly wisdom and there's a godly wisdom. The godly wisdom is what we strive for. Somewhere along the line, you've probably heard someone say, well, contrary to conventional wisdom. They ever stop and wonder what that saying meant? Or contrary to popular thinking? Maybe you've heard that. Well, conventional wisdom, there's the definition of conventional wisdom according to the dictionary. It says the generally accepted belief, opinion, judgment, or prediction about a particular matter. That's conventional wisdom. Go over that one more time. It's an accepted belief, an opinion, a judgment, or prediction about a particular matter. So when you say, well, contrary to conventional wisdom, you're saying, I don't believe that. That's a good thing. It's been likened that conventional wisdom and worldly wisdom work hand in hand, because many times you get into areas and ideas and opinions and judgments that are contrary to what God has. And what happens when we're contrary to the way God thinks or what God wants us to do? That we find ourselves in trouble. Okay, so I always thought this contrary to conventional wisdom just meant I just don't agree with you. But it goes way further than that when you start looking at the word wisdom. Or contrary to popular thinking. You know, just because it's popular thinking does not make it right. Just because it's conventional wisdom, man-made wisdom, doesn't make it right. So we have to be careful when we're in these areas and we're in the world about how we're going to accept what somebody's trying to put on us. And James comes back and he says, this wisdom comes from above, does not descend from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's demonic. And where there's envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So when we get into this conventional wisdom or worldly wisdom, that's where you're going to find these things. You won't find them with God. It's peaceful, it's gentle, it's full of mercy, it's full of good fruit. That's godly wisdom. So we have earthly wisdom, we have conventional wisdom, and we have God's wisdom. I want to go back into Acts. We're going to read some passages out of Acts. And what I want to do is just kind of read through these. You'll get the idea of what's being said as we go through. And look at this. I want to start in Acts 6, verse 3. And just hang with me as we go through these, and then we'll kind of talk about what we've read. Acts 6 and 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. 6 and 10. It says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Acts 7, 9 and 10. And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all of his houses. We're seeing here that this wisdom that we're talking about comes from God. Solomon prayed for wisdom, he received it. James says, pray for wisdom, you'll receive it. Seems like a pretty common thread through here about how this wisdom comes about. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you remember, 1 Corinthians was the letter Paul wrote when he was not happy with the church in Corinth. And he's just, in chapter 1, he's just getting wound up to what he's going to put on them. So, but in verses 21 through 25 in chapter 1, Paul writes to the church, he says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. That's going back to what James was talking about as far as heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Those messages being preached that weren't true. Back to this conventional wisdom that sometimes we get tied up into. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Stop all the other stuff. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Stop and think about that for a minute. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Well, God's worst day is better than anything we got that is our best. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. We can't outdo him. Sometimes, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, sometimes we get in the world, we get to thinking that we're bigger than God. That we can do all these things on our own, that we have all this knowledge and all this understanding, and we don't need all this. We look in the Old Testament, and Preston's been doing a class on the Mosaic Law and the way the Israelites treated God and some of the things that they did and what happened to them. You know, sometimes, you know, he's going to spank our hands once in a while. And that's what happens when you get out of line, when you're not doing things right. But when Paul's saying that the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, it's quite a statement to be made. But it all comes back to the wisdom of God. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 10. I'm going to back up to verse 9. It makes a little more sense through 11. 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. The wisdom of God, according to the eternal purchase which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then also in Colossians 1, verse 9, kind of puts a culmination on what we've looked at so far. Colossians 1 and 9. And again, this is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. He says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. We don't cease to pray for you. We don't cease to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul praying for the church at Colossae that they have wisdom. So as we've looked at these verses, wisdom comes from God. To get into worldly wisdom, then we get into foolishness. We get into the point of thinking that we're bigger than God, that we don't need the church, we don't need Jesus. We can do all this on our own. Conventional wisdom. The acceptance of belief and opinions and judgments or predictions about a particular matter. As we're talking about God tonight, we're talking about Jesus tonight, that particular matter is about Jesus. Bruce has done a series on Sunday mornings about the church versus conventional wisdom, if you will. It's been a good series because it's teaching how the church came about, why it's there, and why it's right. There's only one. There's only one wisdom, even though there's worldly wisdom and there's conventional wisdom. There's really only one wisdom, and that's God's wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Having the knowledge, having the understanding, and taking those two and put it into knowledge, make it work for you. That's a basic definition of the word wisdom. Now, what I want to do, I want to take a look at chapter 8 in Proverbs. I want to try to paint a picture of what this wisdom actually is. A picture that you can put in your mind. So if you see the word wisdom written in text, that picture will focus and you'll automatically know what it is and how precious it is to have wisdom. I've broken this chapter down into four different sections, 1 through 11, 12 through 21, 22 through 31, and then the balance. So I want to look at it that way. It's not a long read. It's not a lot of understanding. A lot of it's self-explanatory. But it paints a really, really good picture. In chapter 8, it starts out, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Wisdom cries out every day. She takes her stand on top of the hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men, my voice being wisdom. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. I will speak of excellent things, and from my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Here's the other side of the coin. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. We go back to the definition of conventional wisdom. How can that even be in our minds if we're looking at this as godly wisdom? All my words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing crooked and there's nothing perverse in them. They're all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction. That's wisdom. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. We just saw that in chapter 3, didn't we? Again, we're trying to paint a picture here. So as we look at this first section of 1 through 11, we see that wisdom cries out to all men. It's up to us whether we want to accept it or not. It's up to us if we want to pray to God for wisdom. It's on top of the hill. Anybody ever play King on the Mountain? Ain't nobody can defeat you. Okay? Because you're up there and you can do whatever you want to do. Wisdom's on top of the hill. You can't defeat her. Wisdom speaks of excellent things. speaks of right things. It speaks of truthful things. It speaks of righteousness. And it's plain to those who understand. It's not a difficult thing to understand wisdom when you're striving for it, when you're praying for it, and God is granting it to you. The more wisdom that you have, the better off you are with the knowledge and the understanding that you have. It's received instruction and knowledge. It's not gold. It's not silver. And as we looked at before, it's better than rubies, and it's better than anything else you may desire. Once again, in Proverbs, we've seen it in chapter 3, and we now see it again in chapter 8, how precious this wisdom is. Verses 12 through 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. That's how you find out knowledge and discretion, is with wisdom. My fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. This is wisdom speaking. We have that wisdom within us, then that's us speaking. I hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. I hate all that. Could just well be us saying that as wisdom saying that. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. What is sound wisdom? I am understanding. I have strength. How much strength? By me, kings rule and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. That's how strong wisdom is. Wisdom within us lets us rule over evil. It lets us strive for godly things, for godly thinking. We don't get off the path that we want to be on. Verse 17, again, wisdom speaking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Key word there is diligently. Those who seek me diligently might find me. That's not what it says. Will find me. There's a big difference there. Riches and honor are with me. That's spiritual riches. Spiritual honor. Enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Back to this again. Yes, than fine wine. And my revenue than choice silver. I traversed the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. Do we love wisdom? Are we starting to see a picture of how valuable it is to us to have godly wisdom? Even a little bit of it. You know, it's like the mountain and the mole. Take this mountain, move it over here if I've got just a little bit of faith. The faith of a mustard seed. Well, start with that kind of thinking with wisdom. If I just got just a little bit of wisdom, that helps me put this knowledge and this understanding in a better perspective, and it's easier to work with. Now let's grow that little piece of wisdom and let it blossom out. It's better than anything you can put your hands on. All right, so where did all this wisdom come from? Let's look at 22 through 31. This tells the story of where it started. The Lord possessed me all the beginning of his way. Wisdom's been there since God created the earth. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, all before the beginning of this whole thing, or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the seas its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, this is wisdom talking, I was there. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. How good is this wisdom we're talking about? And I was daily his delight, God's delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Wisdom has been around forever. It's there from the beginning. Not something new that we talk about, not something new that just all of a sudden comes about us. It's as we've seen so far, we need to pray for it. We need to ask God for it. And we've been assured through the text that we've read tonight that he will provide it. And as we grow in knowledge and as we grow in understanding, the more God will grant our prayer for wisdom to put those to work. It's all like, it's like a dominoes. If you knock one domino over, all of them will fall over. If you don't have the proper knowledge and you don't have the proper understanding, there's not going to be the proper wisdom to put everything to work. And as I started this, you can apply this in business, you can apply it in family, and you can apply it in your Christian lives. Those of us that have been in business or those that are in business, those that even work for businesses, the more knowledge you have and the more understanding you have, the better you can put it to use. And that's wisdom. I want to finish this up with the last few verses. It says, now therefore, that sounds like Paul saying that. Yes, but. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. That's wisdom speaking. Listen to me. Because here's why. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Spiritual instruction. Hear it and be wise. And do not disdain it. Don't just cast it aside. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, praying constantly, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life. That's eternal life. And obtains favor from the Lord. He who sins against me, there's always the flip side of the coin, isn't there? He who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. So the question is, do we want to live forever or do we want to have death as far as our Christian lives are concerned? That's about as good as I can do in 25 to 30 minutes of portraying to you what wisdom is. It's a picture you need to keep in your mind, not only as you walk through life, but as you study God's word, to know that if we pray for this, we're going to get it. We're going to receive it. And the more we study and the more knowledge we have and the more understanding of God's word we have, the more wisdom that he'll give us in order for that understanding to be put to work. It all works hand in hand in hand. And as wisdom says, hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. That's the lesson tonight. It was a difficult lesson to put together. It's wisdom is difficult to walk through life without. The joking of the fact that, well, I don't have any wisdom should be put out of our minds. Or I don't know what wisdom is, should be put out of our minds. Because it's all, to me, it's plain and simple after I've studied it as to the picture that wisdom is, as to how great wisdom is to have. So if there's any here tonight that need to put on their Lord in baptism, we would entertain that as a need for you. We also are happy to lift you up in prayers. If you have a need in your life, now would be the time to make those known as we stand and sing the invitation song.